music hall with Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Marilyn Maxwell, the music major man, the charioteers, and Bing's distinguished visitor for this evening, one of the cinema's finest and most famous directors, Cecil B. DeMille. And here's Bing Crosby.
How would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. It's tough at anything here.
That seems brawny and great as we know. He's got thanks in the bit of South Bank Street.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to play on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on its face. But he's got a terrible disease. He has no manner when he eats his food.
He's talking lazy and he's fooling.
But if you don't share the feather all the same, you might grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a car? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything to burn in a bird. He can't hide his name or eat a bird. He fooled off people in his only
fun. You know he'll get rich, he'll get caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you could grow up to be a fish. You kind of jumped up slippery, fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few that look at
me. So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You can be swinging on stars.
Good evening. Certainly, recent events give all of us pause for thought. Perhaps mothers are the only ones who really understand such a mingling of joy, fear, pain, and hope. We've also learned that after the expected occurs, the next most important step is to return to routine and carry on. That was the first thing our fighting men were taught, to carry on. That's what they're doing today on the beaches of France and on the waters of the English Channel and in the skies over Europe. Naturally, tonight we'll be interrupted from time to time to bring you the latest vital details. Meantime, we are fortunate in having as our guest a gentleman who is just immortalized with Gary Cooper, one of the great staggers of this war, the story of Dr. Walker. I'm speaking of Cecil B. DeMille, one of Hollywood's earliest steps. Here is a boy who's worked cinema wonders since the days when the magic lantern first fascinated folks. Say, see, Bill, I seem to have got myself involved in the production of a picture to be called The Great John L. I was wondering if perhaps you might give a green hand at the production point of it.
Of course, Ben. But naturally, if I have anything to do with your picture, you'll want it to be released as a Cecil B. DeMille production. Produced, directed, edited, and inspired by Cecil B. DeMille.
Well, where does my name come in?
Bob Hope told me you were a ham. He said,
takes one to know one.
Now, about this picture of yours.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll have to have a backup to it.
Mm-hmm.
The great John L. taking a fluffy bubble bath.
Oh, now, this is why waste film showing John L. taking a bath.
Not to prove he fights clean.
Good idea. Now, how about some more angles on how to point up John L., huh?
Well, Having finished the story of Dr. Watson, the idea of a fight picture intrigues me. Naturally, there'll be a big fight scene. Mm-hmm. A very big fight scene. A tremendous fight scene. I'll loan you the arena I use for the gladiators in the final cross. Then your crowd will look like 20 million people.
20 million people? Isn't that too many?
Well, if you want to make it a B picture. If you want to chisel, cut it down to 10 million.
Now, let's make it a C picture. What about some of your other ideas?
Well, you open on these millions of people waiting to see the championship fight. Mm-hmm. The camera takes in the whole arena and then pinpoints down to the working press by the ringside. And there he sits. Tense, anxious, eager.
Who?
Dr. Watson.
How did you get there?
Don't bother me with details. Now the camera picks up the referee. As he gives the fighters their instructions. Now, that's an important bit. And I know just the man to play the part.
Oh.
Dr. Watson.
Could I sneak my boy John L. in for a couple of shots?
Made a quick turn? Yeah, that comes later, when John L. gets married.
Oh, that's soon he gets in.
Yeah. Well, the bride comes walking down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And there, waiting for her at the altar, there he stands.
No.
Yes.
John L.?
Dr. Watson. Oh.
Doc gets around, don't he?
Of course, when I say Dr. Watson, I'm just picking a name at random.
Oh, at random. Well, I see. Go on.
Yeah. Now, the year passes for a tiny garment.
Who's missing them?
Well, if you pick a name at random, Dr. Watson.
Good trip. Very good.
Then a doctor has to be found in a hurry. Who do they send for?
Dr. Christian?
No, he wouldn't do it.
What?
Why? Well, he'd have to bring a prize-winning script along.
Dr. Gillespie?
No, he only takes people who work for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
How about Dr. Russell?
Now, how'd you happen to think of him?
Just pick the name at random.
You know, that gives me an idea of how you can tie your little picture in with mine.
Call it John L. Sullivan comes to Dr. Watson?
And vice versa. I tell you, we use your picture as a trailer.
Oh, good. Yes. Everybody prefers trailers here. That's fine.
Thanks, Stevie. I wish there was some way that I could reciprocate it and confirm. Well, you know, you might give me a little advice. You know, I'm on the radio.
Yes, I've heard you. There's one thing on your show I think can be improved, really, the way you sign off.
You mean not soon enough?
No. I just mean the manner of it.
Oh, you mean this is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Yeah,
good for them. What's the matter with that?
Well, doing it your way is never going to make you a Frank Sinatra, you know.
Can you show me how to be that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, about the way you sign off. It's not musical enough, so here's how you ought to do it.
This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood. Or you could do this is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Or this is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood, please. There you are, three different ways. You could do it.
Thank you.
They're all good, and I know which one I prefer.
How are you going to do it?
This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Stick around, Cecil, while we audition one of the nicer newies in Dottie L'Amour's new picture, The Angel's Fist.
Don't happen to you. Don't count stars, or you might stumble. Come on, drop the sky, and down you tumble. Keep an eye on things, run when said bell rings. It could happen.
To say that more war bonds have been cashed in during May than at any time since Pearl Harbor. You mentioned the staggering figure. Strange, isn't it? Those bonds are our bonds. We promised to loan that dough for 10 years. Then yesterday, the same newscaster said the sale of war bonds had picked up a little, and I think we all know why. But why do we have to wait for guys to face crossfire on the beaches before we spring for all that we can carry? What's going to happen to make us hold all the bonds we're buying at present? Buying bonds is more than just giving men a cure. They're a means of buying the sinews of war. The bonds you buy today and turn in tomorrow, you're not going to buy much. Every bond you turn in because you think you need a little extra cash deprives some GI of something he needs. And the things he needs make a bigger difference to him than anything you need. The things he needs is the difference between life and death. So make yourself stick to your promise and to your bond. Today and every day, from now on, is the time to buy bonds and make yourself the solemn promise to hold them. Hold them for the sake of those men who are helping you to hold the right to live and to think and to worship as you please.
Hi, Marcus Back. 1936. German troops reoccupied the Bedonto-Eyes Rhineland. The Spanish War is flared in Morocco, spread to the Spanish mainland. 1936. And as unrest seized in Europe, young men in America enjoying peace in their time can be heard saying to their sweethearts,
"Are you happy, honey?"
"Me? Come on over here, Harry. It's lovely. Sit right on the grass."
"No, just stay here."
"Aw, Harry, please. Come just a itty bitty closer."
No, I just don't think so.
"Aw, is Harry a itty bitty bit faster?"
No, I'm
Oh, hey, afraid of itty bitty me?
No, but you're sitting in just itty bitty poison ivy. Well, have you heard the new Rodgers and Hart tune that goes like this?
There's a small hotel with a wishing well. I wish that we were there together.
Oh, how bright is she, one moon bright and new, complete for us to share together.
Looking through the window, you can see distant people,
not a sign of people,
who want people.
Then the people there said, "Good night, sleep well.
We'll talk this matter there. Who want?"
Pretty window curtains made of skin, or I make believe land.
On the walls are several cheerful prints of dragons over blue glen.
Go down into the parlor and feast your eyes on a moose on the wall.
Perhaps you'd like to play the organ. They tune it every other fall and that's all.
The garden will be like Adam and his wife.
No, they never did go in for church. They'll get what is known as married prayer. There's a small hotel with a wishing well. I wish that we were there together.
There's a bed of two.
One room. Bright and blue, humble
for us to share.
Together, looking through the window, we can see a distant steeple. Sleep well, you very small hotel. We'll creep into our little cell, and we will count the flowers
being here, the old trap music all next Thursday. In view of this, our spirit compels us to dwell for a few moments on Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen's fine song, Old Glory. Might also be well to warn you that next Thursday we'll be featuring that globe-trotter, an author of the forthcoming Dollar Dozer I Never Left Home, Bob Hope. That's next Thursday. This evening, as John Scott moves me into Old Glory, which will be our way of saying that's all for now. Let's never lose sight of the fact that there are thousands of our men in spots where they can't say, that's all for now. No matter how weary, they've got to keep on. And in our efforts here at home, in everything we do, from giving our money to giving our blood, we must do likewise. So that those men who are forced to journey home before the battle's won will never have cause to question any sacrifice they've made or the sacrifice made by those of their comrades to whom that's all for now is forever. From a forest clearing in the North Main Woods, or a wagon crossing in Ohio, there started a song. Someone added a note, someone added a word, and the wide world.
Yeah.
knows that, mister. There's an old fat fish from New Hampshire. A gas can.
One eat gas, three bugs. It means getting up early in the cold, lighting lanterns, milking, setting up with the maple trees for Phillips. Or the schools of eat bugs Washington and the Green Mountain Boys, following rabbit tracks in the snow. And as it grew, if the wind would come whistling through, it means that bug, and a lot more.
Georgia boy, he says I'm sentimental. That flag mean anything to you?
Sure does, say boy.
Certainly than 13 stripes. One of them stands for Georgia. Like the man says, a lot more.
Yeah, such as red players here. Hope they confederate blood, stains them. And Mars flag. And big oak trees with moss on it. Watermelons in the hot sun. And spiritual singing in the evening.
Home made brand McNally milk.